Welcome to Fatima and the Family, a joint presentation of EWTN and the Fatima Family Apostolate. This apostolate was founded at the encouragement of the Pontifical Council for the Laity. And now the director and founder of the apostolate, and your host for Fatima and the Family, Father Robert J. Fox.
Welcome to Fatima Family Apostolate. During these series, we have been telling you how our apostolate exists for the purpose of a call to holiness of our families. And I'm real happy to tell you that you've heard about the call to holiness movement that they're starting to have now. Well, I was able to talk to Mother Angelica, and she promised me at some future call to holiness, she will be there and she will talk to us. Now, please don't be writing EWTN or to me and say, when is this going to be? It will come. In fact, we have a Marian Congress every June, weekend after Father's Day. And if you get this magazine we've been telling you so much about during these programs, the Immaculate Heart Messenger, they tell you how to get it at the end of the program. We will give you all the information when these things will be held. Don't call us. Get the information out of the magazine. We have been interviewing various couples during this series on the Fatima Family Apostolate. Younger couple, middle-aged couple, and now we have Francis and Gail with us today. And we're going to let you decide which age category they fit into. And I think you're just going to be fascinated what they have to share with us. You know, God gives us certain signs at times so that we can believe. We know there's all kind of reports around today of visionaries and mystics. I just got back from Australia, and they have the same thing there, the little pebble and what else. And we have to be most cautious about that. But God does give us signs at times. You know, with the three little children of Fatima, they begged Our Lady, give us a sign so that everyone can know you are appearing to us. And Our Lady said, in October the 13th, 12 o'clock, I will give a sign so that all may believe. And you know what the sign was? The miracle of the sun. 70 to 100,000 people were there. The phenomena of the sun went on for about 10 minutes. The sun spinning like a giant cotton wheel, crashing towards the earth. And then it would return, and then it would come back a third time. Remember I told you things happen in Fatima in threes, reminding us of three persons and one God. There were agnostics. There were atheists there that day. And when that miracle was over, and it's much more profound than I've described, they were saying, God, I do believe. And it has been my privilege going to Fatima sometimes more than once a year. And if I put it all together, I've been there for about 3 years, just, you know, 2 weeks at a time. It amounts to about 3 years. And I have been able to interview people over these many years who were there that very day and witnessed the miracle of the sun. Now, the church tells us miracles can happen. Miracles do happen. But the church never picks out one particular miracle and says, this one you must believe. Even Fatima, even Lourdes, even Guadalupe. The church doesn't say, it's of divine faith, you must believe this. But if you really study what it has to say, we can put human faith in it, and we would be quite foolish not to believe, because the evidence is there. Padre Pio, who had the stigmata for 50 years, well, the church has never really made an official declaration that Padre Pio had the stigmata. Stigmata really means sign. And yet, I don't know of any devout Catholic today who would deny that. Well, a book called Francis. This book tells you about the couple we are going to interview today. Francis is here with us. I'm not going to call him a stigmatic. He doesn't call himself that. He has the wound marks in his hands. I was with a doctor. Three doctors have analyzed him. I was with a doctor who analyzed the wounds. Francis goes through the sufferings of Jesus Christ every night of the year between 12 and 3 o'clock, and I have personally witnessed this more than once. I think the best way I can explain what this couple means is to read to you what is on the back cover of this book. And the book is just, I spent a couple of years writing it. It's just coming out now. This is what it says. This book relates the life of a married man in the United States who bears the wound marks of Jesus Christ on his hands. He undergoes the events surrounding the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ each night of the year, more pronounced on all the Fridays of the year and during Lent, and with greater intensity during Holy Week. You will find in this book extensive references to sacred scripture to help you understand why and how Francis has been chosen to become a living sacrifice, and how the same should apply to every Christian. The readers of this book will be inspired to greater devotion to the sufferings of Jesus Christ, which can be experienced in the devout making of the way of the cross. This book, prayerfully read, will lead to a greater love of and adoration for the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, present with his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacles throughout the world. The sufferings of Francis will help the reader to relate to the sacrifice of the cross, which is perpetuated at each sacrifice of the Mass. Hundreds who already know of the mission given Francis and have been touched by him in the name of Jesus Christ have already returned to the Church, to the sacraments, to the Holy Eucharist, to reconciliation, to confession, or to their more frequent use. Through the evangelizing mission given Francis, many have been led to lead souls back to the Church or into the Church. An unassuming man who seeks no publicity and would prefer the hidden life away from the world is introduced by a priest who has been a spiritual guide to Francis. No one is required to believe the contents of this book. So please don't write and say, well, has the Church approved of this? Church hasn't approved a Pater Pio. So we're not going to say you're going to have to believe it, but the evidence is there. Read the book and you decide. The book Francis should bring to married people the profound realization that sanctity is for them, for the family, mother and fathers, for children of all ages, teenagers, young adults. Francis' mission is in a special way for the sanctification of the family as well as individuals. And finally, Gail and Francis, I am getting to you. And, you know, our Lord's Lady of Fatima said to the little children, are you willing to accept all the sufferings that God wishes to send you in reparation for sin and for the conversion of sinners? And are you willing to accept all that, Francis?
I have, many years ago, Father.
Yeah. And we're going to get to Gail, how his sufferings have involved you. Tell me, did anything unusual happen in your childhood?
Yes, it was, Father. I'll have to make this short because it's a real long story, and I know we don't have the time.
And they can read the long account in my book.
Right. When I was 6 years old, I was in a terrible accident. It was with a horse. My whole left side was crushed, and two ribs were in my lung, and they didn't know all what else was wrong. The doctor told my folks it'd be 15 minutes, a half hour that I'd live. Well, with The Power of Prayer with my aunt. That was a nun at the time, had all the convent in Milwaukee praying over this little nephew of hers. And 4 o'clock, to cut this short, 4 o'clock that morning, the hemorrhaging stopped. I opened my eyes, and I wasn't gasping for my breath anymore. I asked my mother who that...
Who was that man in a white nightgown who appeared to you with his hand like this over your bed?
My mother says, well, what did he say? And there was a nun with her. And I said, nothing. All he did was raise his hand. And then he left. 5 days later, I'm back home.
You were,
so we know who that was.
I know. They called the bishop, and the bishop said it has to be a miracle. Well, where or how did your interest in the sufferings of Jesus, you've always been so devoted to the passion of Jesus, how did that begin and develop?
My mother and dad always said the way of the cross after Mass. And we were all little kids. There was 7 of us. And we'd always say that, Stations of the Cross with them, or pray the Stations, I should say. And I did that all my life. But the more you pray the Stations, the more you live that, His passion, and you get to understand it, and you get that feeling. And I think this all resulted from the Stations of the Cross. Now, after this accident, you couldn't keep me out of church, Father. Even when I was a little tired.
Yeah.
And I went to Mass every day when I was in high school.
And you try to get other teenagers who
others
were
to
practicing
come with me,
their
yeah.
faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you went into the Army and you got Army boys who weren't going to Mass.
I sure
you almost tricked them into going to confession.
Yeah, there was... there was one time I did. Should I tell that little story?
No. I let's save that one because we got so many
okay.
other things. So your parents really had Catholic culture and Catholic values
oh,
in
yes.
your home.
Oh, yes. And that the whole, all my brothers and my sisters are all very religious.
Again, how did you ever meet him? I mean, did you recognize him as a holy young man, or what happened? How did you meet him?
Well, he was the same age as my brother, and after the war, they had the same friends, and they got together, and Irv was among them, and that was it.
That was it.
Yep.
Well, I know, and I hope you get time to develop this, that when this happened to Francis on Good Friday, 1993, starts on Holy Thursday night. He was going to stay till midnight before the Blessed Sacrament. But he got this terrible pain in his hand. And then he had to go home. And we won't go into all of that. But I know how the way people start acting fanatical and took away the privacy of your home,
yeah.
it was a real test. And I've often said to Francis, when God chose Francis for this mission, he knew who his wife was. You don't know that I have this. You know what it is?
No.
This is a note you gave to Francis about a week ago. And be careful what you tell him. He tells me everything. This is a note you gave him. Those years long ago, I was saying that you gave me something no one else could give. You gave me a feeling that even if life was sometimes hard, even if it sometimes took turns we didn't like, it would always be a good life. It's all right to crack. Just because we were fortunate to be in it together. Those two small words, I do, I will, meant that I loved you. They also had hidden in them something deeper and truer, a hope, a promise, a faith, forever. Love, G. Gail. Do you remember giving him that note about a week ago?
Yeah.
So be careful what you give him because it ends up with me. What do you think you chose? Well, that kind of tells it, huh?
Well, Father, I think he was kind and gentle, sincere, and I just thought he would make a great father for my children. Besides, he had a good sense of humor.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's why he cries all the time. Well, the first time I talked to Francis, he said, oh, Father, there's so much love in our family. Was there eight of you? Seven of you? Seven?
Seven children, yeah.
Is that true?
Yes, there was a lot of love.
Is that still there today between the brothers and the sisters?
Oh, yes.
You know, in the book, I explore. I said, you must have had a very special mother and dad. We can't, you know, God gets all the credit, but we're not going to give Francis all the credit. God's just using him in a way he never expected. Who had the most influence, Gail, in instilling Christian Catholic values in your own family, your own five children? Was it you or Francis? Because all your children are with the church. Who had the greatest effect?
I think we both did, Father. We agreed to send them to Catholic school. And our oldest one graduated from Catholic school, and then they closed it. So the others had to finish in the public schools. But we said the rosary. We went to novenas. We both did.
Those days, the Catholic schools were really Catholic schools.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Francis, was because you had to work. You told me some days when you had to work 12 hours a day, you never missed a day but what you got the church to make the Stations of the Cross, like your father had taught you from the time you were knee-high. But in your workplace and with the people you work, was your religion a private thing? Or did you let it be known, your faith?
It was not private because when we built the new plant, they made me superintendent of it. And when my office was finished, the first thing that went in my office was a crucifix, and underneath the glass was our Blessed Mother and St. Jude and St. Francis and the Sacred Heart. And one of the higher-ups from the other plant came over, and he says, are you going to leave that there? He says, you know, we got a lot of engineers and vendors that come here. And I looked up at him. I said, when they go, I go. There was never another word said.
That's good because, you know, talking to the younger couples, this is a fifth, sixth program interviewing couples for this apostolate. Mm-hmm. That came out, especially men have a tendency to privatize their religion. Mm-hmm. And by golly, as we heard Mother say the other night, if we love Jesus, we should be willing to talk about him. You know, we met Mother. Remember, we had going to have a five-minute appointment with Mother Gallagher this morning? And it turned out to be an hour and a half.
That was wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she suffers so much. And I said, would you pray over her? And oh, yeah. And then I get a couple sisters that are suffering, too. And then she went and got the whole work. And they were lined up there, and you have gone to different places. Over 1,000 have come forth, and when you pray, I notice it's quiet. Don't hear them pray, and I've heard from priests. I really researched that book. I took nothing for granted, and I didn't put anything in that book. And I know you told me I'm not going to read the book. and I was pleased with that, but I called, phoned, wrote to priests where you have prayed over people, and some of them have said hundreds and hundreds of people came forth for confession afterwards, and one pastor said for a month afterwards they kept coming to confession, some people away from the church for 20 and 30 years, coming back to the church. So this is the most unusual mission that God. What do you think about all this?
The Lord, when He came to me 40 days before I got this, and I didn't know what was going to happen. he was in his passion, you know. And it was a mist in my room. And I perspired so much after that, I had to change pajamas. But all he said is I was going to suffer much, and it would be for the conversion of sinners. He says, you are to touch my people. He didn't say, go out and give speeches or talk or anything. Touch my people, and that's exactly what I do today. And it's him. He's there, and he does it.
He didn't say to talk to my people. He said to touch my people.
Touch my people.
In fact, that's the name of one of the chapters, Touch My People. Mm-hmm. And so that you all know, when Francis goes to these places, if anybody comes up, you, your family, or anybody, tries to slip $5 or $10, he refuses to accept even one penny. I know some people try to give me some money to give to Francis. He said, send it back. So there's nothing commercial in all of this. You were about 67 years old when our Divine Lord gave you this mission. And at first, I can imagine you just didn't know what to do when all of a sudden the wounds came and the suffering came. Gail, how did you find out about it? He didn't tell you immediately, did he?
No. It must have been about 5-6 days after he had it. And I was washing walls in the kitchen, and I said, Irv, can you help me with these? And he showed me his hands. He said, I can't do it now. And he showed
me. He held his hands up like this.
Like this. Wow. I knew right away. I said, have you seen a priest? He said, yes. I said, have you seen a doctor? He said, no. And then a million things went through my head.
Did this, now the months, the first couple of years and so of that fall of this, did this cause a change between you?
Yes, a big change.
A good or bad?
A lot of confusion, I think.
Confusion. Yeah.
Hurt, frustration.
Yeah.
I take a lot of the blame on that because I was so confused. I was being led in the wrong direction, you know, and I feel so bad for her, but I'm glad the Lord straightened.
Well, you know, have something. I know he wants to take the blame, and of course, I really think the blame too is the people, you know, sensationalizing this. And I know, you know, I'm known as a conservative priest to stay right down with the church. And as soon as people who have followed me for years and years, and they heard that I was writing this book on Francis, oh, Father, there's so many false reports on mystics around. You're going to start this thing and say, no, wait a minute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Francis, a confessor, going back, I guess, a few years, said to his bishop, let's have him investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop said, why?
He
good is happening. He's not doing anything wrong. I think it's very prudent of the bishop. You know, the bishop keeps informed periodically. His confessor mm-hmm. informs the bishop of everything. But the fact that people don't use common sense.
No.
What was... You want to tell us, I know they weren't just local people, but people even from out in my area,
mm-hmm.
Like 1,000 miles away, what were they doing?
Well, telephoning. I mean, I don't think we ever ate a meal together or was on the phone. And then sometimes it's all hard things to take, you know, their petitions and their troubles. And then after, he wouldn't be hungry. So he lost a lot of weight. People
and they were coming right into your
right
home.
Right into the house, and my children would come, and they'd see strangers, or Dad was on the phone, so they stopped coming.
They would come and see all those people in the house and say, well,
we'll
go.
Be back later.
And we have cars, you know, that ride around the block and goes real slow, and you'd stop in front of the house, look at the house. So it was even difficult for a long time to even go outside. Yeah.
But there were certain people who were very prudent, even local people, who became a great support.
Right.
Father, I should have mentioned this before. Before this all started happening to me, and the way I look back at it today, the Lord built a bunch of beautiful people. Some that came back to the church before I had this, and went to confession, started going to Mass and Communion every day, and these are the people there today.
Well, thank you, Gail and Francis, for being with us, and we'll be back with you for another program. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
This has been Fatima and the Family. For more information, contact the Immaculate Heart Messenger magazine at 1-800-721-MARY. And please join us again next time for Fatima and the Family here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.